the WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
All right, everybody. This is Andrew Hollister, your host of Radio Free New York. Thank you so much for joining me here. Thank you for joining me on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and for my listeners on WYSL as well. Thank you guys all for joining me. As you guys know, I am in the Czech Republic, so I am not in studio, which means if you guys want to call in the show, I don't have the capabilities for you to do that, but you can join on the Facebook live stream, the Twitter live stream, or the YouTube live stream. And send me your comments, send me your questions there. I will absolutely take them. Between the breaks, I usually check the comments, see how they are, see if you guys have any questions. And I want to give a shout out to Nathan, who has joined the live stream twice now. I had some technical difficulties both on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you, Nathan, so much for catching the audio issue for me. It would have been really unfortunate to find out at the end of the show that you couldn't hear me. So why am I doing the show a little bit earlier today? I'm doing it earlier today because today is my birthday. It is my 30th birthday. I made it to 30. Yes, go me. So I'll be with friends and family later and tomorrow. So that's why I'm doing this a little bit earlier than normal. Hopefully you guys still catch the show in the normal spot. WYSL will have the show at the same time, so no worries on the radio listeners. So that's what I'm doing here. And for those of you who are maybe tuning in now and didn't catch the last two episodes, I am working on building our YouTube audience right now. So the way you guys can help me with that is head over to YouTube, search Andrew C. Hollister, and when my page comes up, just go over there, click subscribe. Last week, we had a goal to get 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. I think we doubled that. I think we're actually pretty close to 200 subscribers right now. And the way YouTube works is they actually unlock features as you get subscribers. So the next place that we're trying to get to is 1,000 subscribers. So if you could head over to YouTube, subscribe to the channel, ask your friends to do the same. It'll help me reach more people. And when we talk about important things like having freedoms in New York, the anti-liberty movement, what's being done with our tax dollars, we'll be able to reach more people. YouTube will actually promote the channel, and that'll help more people across the state and even across the nation and the world see the content and hear about what's important and just help spread that information. So once again, YouTube, Andrew C. Hollister, hit subscribe. That's all I'm asking you to do. You can still catch the show wherever you normally do, whether that's online, on WYSL, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, wherever. But subscribe on YouTube if you could to help me out. I also want to let you guys know, from time to time, people send emails to the WYSL station letting them know that they enjoy the show. So I wanted to give a shout out to Doug, who sent an email to WYSL letting them know what he thought about the show. So Doug, thank you so much. I encourage everybody, you know, if you have feedback, positive, negative, or anything in between, let me know, let WYSL know, let us know what you think of the show. It's important to me. It lets me know that you guys are listening, and it lets me know what you guys think of the content that I'm bringing you guys. Because you may or may not know this, I'm not a professional radio guy. I just kind of come on the air. I talk about what's important to me. I talk about what I think is important to New York State, to my family, the people around me, and I try to educate my audience. So I always love to hear your feedback and know if what I'm saying, if what I'm telling and what I'm sharing with you guys is what you want to hear. So Doug, thank you for that. And thank you to others who've emailed in the past too. That certainly helps me out. So in this show, this is the first show I'm doing since Christmas. And I thought maybe I would try to get around having, talking about Christmas. But then I thought, no, why don't I talk about Christmas? Why don't I talk about what happened on Christmas? How things are different here. I think the audience, I don't know if you guys enjoy or not hearing about how things are different in Czech Republic. But this is where I am. So I'm going to share some of that with you guys and let me know what you think. I also see more people are joining the live stream, which is awesome. So guys, if you have any questions, please just comment in there in the live stream. So Christmas in the Czech Republic is a little different. It's not super different, but there are some differences. The first difference that I see is they actually celebrate Christmas on the 24th instead of the 25th. So growing up for me and, you know, my family in New York State, we always celebrated Christmas on the 25th. Now, sometimes we'd get to open a present the night before on Christmas Eve on the 24th. But by and large, everything else was done on the 25th. In Czech Republic, they actually celebrate just about everything on the 24th, which is a little bit different. The other thing that's different and really interesting to me is that Santa Claus, although he exists kind of as a figure or an idea in Czech Republic, and people talk about Santa Claus, Santa Claus is not the one who gives the gifts. Jesus does. So that to me is really interesting, that Jesus gives the gifts here in Czech Republic, not Santa Claus, which is very, very different in the United States, where, you know, a lot of children get gifts and they're told it's from Santa Claus, whereas here that's not the case at all. So those are just some interesting differences. The other differences that I saw are they basically shut down. I mean, they shut down from the 24th all the way to the 2nd of January. So a lot of times if you wanted to get something from the store, whether that's a regular household item, food, whatever, you really have to plan. And it's interesting because, you know, we used to be like this, and we're not anymore. We're so consumer-driven that everything is open 24/7. Some places don't even close on Christmas anymore. Whereas here, it's still kind of that old traditional type of setup where they shut down before the 24th. A lot of stores don't open till the 2nd of January. And the thing to me that I always think about, you guys know that I like to plan things and I prepare things in advance. But I think of my friends that I have, not here, but in the U.S., who can't plan anything a few hours in advance, let alone a few days in advance. And just think about like what situation they would be in if they were over here and they ran out of something like toilet paper, you know, or something important like that. At that point, if you weren't friends with your neighbor, you'd want to become friends with your neighbor, really quickly. And hopefully your neighbors are home and they kind of help you out with that. So what did we do for Christmas here? So Christmas Eve, the day before Christmas Eve, my father-in-law, he does acting and stuff like that. They do a lot of arts and plays here still. So, my father-in-law was in a play. It was, kind of like, you know, a typical Christmas story about Christ's birth. But it was a little different than what I've experienced in the U.S. Most of the, you know, Christmas plays that I've been to have been inside a church, usually my church, and you go and it'll have obviously the story of Christ's birth and other stuff like that. This was different. It wasn't in a church at all. In fact, they were outside. So it was snowing. People were standing outside watching this play in the snow. And it was just in the back of a pub, basically, which was a very different scene, a very different experience for me. The other thing that was interesting was the shepherds in this theater, this play, they were actually drunk which was interesting. And when they brought gifts to the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph, they actually brought them bottles of alcohol. So that was kind of funny. The other thing that was interesting is the priest who married my wife and I actually was in the play as well. And he was in the play as the devil, which was it was very interesting. So there's a lot of comic relief in the play. And I wasn't the only one that thought it was interesting, because the local paper actually picked it up and ran a story about how the priest was playing the devil in this Christmas story, or this Christmas play. So it was pretty interesting. And then I was kind of thinking to myself, like, who would know Satan best? Well, probably a priest, right? So kind of interesting, a little different. Then on Christmas Eve, we had some traditional Czech foods for Christmas. Their traditional Christmas meal is actually carp or a fish soup. They make homemade potato salad. We also had some chicken schnitzel, which is not a traditional thing, but that's what we had. And they also take walnut shells and put little candles in them, and then they put them in the water to race them. So that's also something just a little bit different that they do over there that we don't do here in the U.S. Another thing that was pretty interesting, and I'll squeeze this last bit in before we take a break here, and that is that on the 26th, the 26th is also like a kind of like a national holiday for them. It is officially St. Stephen's Day, so like a religious holiday, but unofficially, locally, it's actually like a national hiking day or a holiday for hiking. So a whole bunch of people, they all get together, they go on a hike. I've kind of told you guys before, the place I'm in is similar to our Adirondacks, you know, in North Country. So everybody gets together, whether it's their local church group, some friends, some club, whatever. They get together and they go out on a hike. My guess is this came about because of how much food everybody eats in the holidays, and they had to have some way to work it off. So the day following Christmas, we got together with about 30 other people, and we took a 10-kilometer hike through the hills, the forest, and there were people of all ages. You know, everybody from young children up into, you know, people with very gray and white hair and no hair at all, their dogs, everything. Everybody just kind of got together in the morning. We took this hike, and it was pretty cool. It was kind of like a community event, you know. And that's what we did. The trip ended, of course, this is Czech Republic, so it ended at a pub where everybody got some warm drinks and some warm food, and then we were near a train station so we could take a ride back. But the other thing that I found out is there's actually an annual swim in the river, which I did not participate in that whatsoever. Good for those people. You know, in Rochester, we have the Polar Plunge, where people get together and they jump in the water real quick to raise money for charity. These people are doing it of their own free will, and they're not raising any money for charity. So, you know, good for them. That's awesome. I did not participate in that tradition, though. So we're going to take a quick break here. So we'll just take a real quick short break here, and then I'll be right back. And we'll be back here on Radio Free New York.
Did mom leave the stove on again? Dad forget to take his pills? The senior citizen in your life deserves to be treated like family in every way. And you deserve the peace of mind that comes from knowing your older family member is getting personalized care, even though they're not yet ready for a nursing home. Consider Alpine Manor, founded in 1971 by owner Tim Kinsella, and just 20 minutes from Rochester in Lima, Livingston County. At Alpine Manor, there are supervised activities and medications, full laundry and housekeeping services provided to your loved one in immaculate surroundings. surroundings. You can move to warmer regions secure in the knowledge that your loved one is well cared for back at home. You could qualify for $1,830 per month VA benefits or $1,176 per month for a surviving spouse. Alpine Manor, New York State Health Department licensed. Call 346-5880 for a no-obligation tour or information, or visit alpinemanor.com.
We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. Great pizza, fresh and good. Simply the best in your neighborhood. Come in, we'll get to know you. We'll call you by name. We can bring it to you any time of the day. Mark's Pizzeria, we'll treat you like family.
This is Dom Genova, owner of Genesee Valley Motors in Avon, your no-nonsense car dealer. Well, we're your no-nonsense truck dealer, too, selling Rams and Fords up to the mightiest that they make. And we have a shop with Master Techs open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., 6 days a week, even Saturday, so you can get your truck serviced when it's not billing hours for you. You may not be used to that. Visit RochesterWorkTrucks.com. That's RochesterWorkTrucks.com.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys. So here we are. Thank you so much for joining me here on Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister. And for those of you who are just joining us on the show, I'm doing the show a little early today because today's my birthday. So thank you so much. I've seen people are commenting happy birthday and have been sending me messages. I don't really make a big deal about my birthday, but the one thing I always do is I try to take time off on my birthday, just spend it with friends and family. And that's really kind of the most important thing to me. So that's why I'm doing the show early, so I can spend time with loved ones. And hopefully you guys still catch the show. Those of you listening on WYSL, the show's airing at the normal time, so no big deal there. Something that people always ask me about my birthday when they find out my birthday's 2 days after Christmas, they always ask me, you know, they'll say something like, hey, you know, do you get screwed on gifts and stuff for your birthday? Do you get, you know, Christmas gifts combined with birthday gifts and, you know, all of that sort of thing? It seems to be the number one most common question I get asked. And to be honest, Christmas and my birthday, neither of them for me are about receiving gifts. In fact, if you were to ask my family, friends, especially my wife, but my wife will tell you this flat out, I don't have a list of things I want. I'm very happy and content with what I have. I don't really like acquiring things. I guess things are kind of set up in life how I want them to be. So, you know, when I get something else, not that I don't appreciate it. I always appreciate gifts. I'm always very thankful. I'm thankful to the people who give them to me and, you know, what they put into it. But for me, gifts are just not something I really think of often, or I never find myself like hoping for somebody to give me things. Instead, the holidays and my birthday are all about just spending time with the people I love and care about. So that's really what's important to me. And because of that, I often tell people that, no, I don't get screwed because my birthday is close to Christmas. I don't feel that way at all. Instead, I'm always so excited, especially when I was in college, that my birthday was close to Christmas, because that meant that friends and family would be in town, and so I'd get the opportunity to spend it with them. So Christmas, especially growing up, you know, my birthday fell during Christmas break, which meant I could spend time with family that I didn't normally get to see, and I could spend time with friends who might, you know, not be available during the week. And then as college rolled around, kind of the same thing. You know, a lot of my friends, they up and left New York State. A lot of our friends leave the state just totally, and they don't come back at all. But my friends who left the state to go to college, A lot of times would be on break during my birthday. They'd be back home visiting family or coming back home. And that gave me the opportunity to see them, spend time with them, reconnect with them, share time with them. So that's always what I've seen, you know, as the gift that I enjoyed for my birthday, was the fact that people I wouldn't normally get the opportunity to see during the year, whether it was because we're all working, we're all busy, or they were out of town or out of state, we all kind of were together for those times. So to me, that's the gift I care about, you know, spending time with people I care about, the people that I love, you know. And so that brings up the question that, you know, well, this year for my birthday, I'm not at home. I'm actually in Czech Republic, so I'm not with all my family. That's totally true. A lot of my family will be home at Rochester. They are home at Rochester, in New York, and I'm in Czech Republic. But that's okay because I'm seeing family here. I'm spending time with the in-laws, and I've actually got some really good close friends out here too that I don't get to see that often. One of my friends, we were sitting down talking, and we were talking about something that happened 10 years ago. And I was like, holy crap, we've been friends for over 10 years. And it was kind of just a different thought for me to think and realize that I have friends 3,000 miles away that I've been friends with for over a decade, which is longer than a good number of my friends that I have in the U.S. So I'm happy here, too. I'm happy with friends. I'm happy with family. And when I come back, I'll definitely be spending time with friends and family in the U.S. as well. So just checking the comments here. Jay's mentioning that, you know, 10 kilometers is about 6 miles for those of us who aren't using metric. That's true. When I come over here, everything switches to metric. And I often tell my wife when she tries to bring recipes from, you know, Czech to home in the U.S., you know, and it doesn't turn out right, I'll just tell her, well, it's because they cook in Celsius and not Fahrenheit. And, you know, it's just kind of a little joke there, I guess. Speaking of Rochester, though, and speaking of things going on in home, I want to bring up something that I've brought up a number of times in this show, and I'm going to keep bringing it up and keep bringing it up until I'm blue in the face. Well, more like until January 17th. And that is Ben Wassel. Now, for those of you who have listened to the show, you're probably thinking I sound like a broken record, and maybe you're tired of hearing about it. I don't know. But for those of you who this is maybe the first time you're hearing about it, this is important to me, and I hope that it's important to you as well. So Ben Wassel is a military veteran who served multiple tours in our armed service. He's combat disabled at 90%, and he was the first man made an example of by the New York State SAFE Act, which I personally call the Unsafe Act, because it did not make you or I any safer. It made things safer for criminals. It made being a professional criminal or even an amateur criminal a much safer working environment. But for those of us law-abiding citizens, it not only didn't make us safer, it disarmed families. It put our veterans in a very, very bad spot. Our veterans are impacted extremely negatively by this law. And we already have an issue with veteran suicide. We lose 22 veterans a day to suicide. And the New York State SAFE Act has made it so that veterans no longer want to seek medical help, specifically any type of mental help. So the people who need it, they go off, they serve, they come back, they need help. If they come to New York, they often choose to not get the help they need because they're afraid that they're going to lose their rights that they fought for in another country. So that it's just, it's really upsetting. It's really important to me. Ben Wassel has a court appeal on January 17th at 10 a.m. in the courthouse. This is in Rochester. The address is 50 East Avenue in Rochester, New York. I'm asking for you to take the time out of your schedule to come to this court appeal and to have a showing. Come dress nice. Come be respectful. We want to show the courts in New York State that we take this very seriously. And we want to have a good showing to show that the people of New York are just tired. Tired of losing our rights here in the state. We now have a governor who is talking about becoming independent of the federal government and writing off that New York is going to be independent of the federal government. Well, here's the thing. The people of New York State, especially the people in upstate, want to be independent of the restrictive, tyrannical laws that are being passed in Albany. And these laws are really being pushed by New York City, and they're being forced on us here in upstate New York. If you look at the election results, upstate did not vote for Governor Cuomo. We did not. And therefore, we did not vote for things like the SAFE Act. That's not what we wanted. So, and this really ties into home rule as well, which I'll talk about a little bit here in a minute. But we need to show up and show the court that we care about this issue. Sharing things on Facebook, that's fine. Posting things, you know, on social media, texting your friends, that's great. I need people to show up. I will be there personally. I know there's going to be a bunch of other good patriots by my side there in the courthouse. I hope you'll come join me as well. So once again, that date is January 17th, 10 a.m. at the courthouse. Address is 50 East Avenue, Rochester, New York. And I hope that you guys come and join me there. Because like I said, it's really, really important. So the other thing that I'll just throw in there, I kind of alluded to it, so I'll just mention this before we take our next break. And that is, I mentioned, you know, being independent of the state and kind of turning away those restrictive anti-liberty laws that are being passed in Albany. Well, there's a movement right now in New York State working on that. And it's the Home Rule Resolution. It's being worked on by George Curbelo, Larry Sharp, myself. If you search on Facebook, the Liberty Den, there's been a lot of promotion there. We're promoting this. This is the idea that Larry and I were talking about throughout our campaign. That's Larry Sharp, who was running for governor last year. We talked about the idea of letting counties be counties, eliminating unfunded mandates so that you and your community can live the way you want, with the culture you want, without somebody in another city like Albany or New York City dictating your way of life. The way to do that is with a process called home rule, which means your county, although it is a part of New York State, it is inside New York State, would be able to say, yeah, but we're independent. We're not going to listen to your mandates in Albany, and we're not going to bend to your rules because we're free people, we're independent people, we think independently, we work together as a community, and we want self-governance. So I highly, highly recommend that you check out the Liberty Den, subscribe to their mailing list for home rule. This is something that you're going to see me pushing a lot. You probably heard George Curbelo on my show a couple weeks ago. We spent an entire show talking about home rule, how we want to make it happen in New York, what the process is, what it would look like, all of that. I think it was about 3 or 4 episodes ago. Check it out. Listen to it. If you're ready to stand up in your county and you're worried about being alone, don't be worried about being alone, because once you stand up for the right thing, other people will follow, and you'll find very quickly that you're not standing alone. And there's already a whole bunch of people standing up, standing together to start making this home rule thing happen. And that's another thing that if you want to see a change in New York, I'd suggest you get yourself together, get your friends together, and start supporting home rule here in New York. All right, so we're going to take a real quick break here on Radio Free New York. So we'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to the voice of Liberty. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
At University Eye Specialists, I see many patients who suffer from dry, irritated, or itchy eyes. Sometimes these symptoms are often due to severe dry eye. Over-the-counter eye drops often help, but sometimes dry eye may require treatment with prescription medication. Dry eye is a very treatable medical condition that should be taken very seriously. The health of your eyes is very important to us. Please feel free to call any one of our local offices for an appointment.
In America, we are living longer, healthier lives. The longer we live, the more likely we are to develop eye conditions such as glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic eye disease. If you are over the age of 40, it's important to have a thorough eye examination in order to identify vision-threatening conditions at an early stage. At University Eye, we have the technology and experience to screen for and to treat glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy. At University Eye, your vision is our mission.
Phone 1-800-724-0938.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, everybody. This is Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister. I am broadcasting from the Czech Republic. I'm here seeing friends and family for the holidays. I will be back in January. But I didn't want to leave you guys. I wanted to make sure that I was still keeping in touch with you guys, still broadcasting. So here I am. I am broadcasting. We're live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. If you guys have any questions, comments, please get on the live stream, send a comment. If you got questions, you know, shoot an email over. I'd be happy to take it and answer it. Barbara on Facebook is asking if the court case is still on January 17th. She said that Ben Wassel's attorney said the date might be moved to February. I will double check on that and find out for you guys. Last I knew it was the 17th, but it's totally possible that the date has changed. It's not uncommon for court cases and court dates to get changed. Sometimes they get changed very last minute. So I will find out for you guys. I will update it on the Facebook page. I will post about it. There is actually an event on the Facebook page for the for Ben's court case, his appeal. So check the Facebook page often. Check the events. Another thing you'll see in the events, you'll see that Larry Sharp, who was running for governor in last year's, well, technically still this year's election, but this last November's election, is going to be in Rochester and throughout Western New York in the second and third week of January. So him and I will be together in Western New York, going around, meeting with people, talking about the things that were important during the campaign that we still think are important today, building support for those issues. Because if you guys remember, Larry and I both said that we will be a voice for the issues that are important to the people of New York. Here we are. That's what we're doing. If you look at other candidates who were running, you can ask yourself, where are they today? They are nowhere to be found. But Larry and I really believe in everything we talked about, so you will continue to see us out and about. Check the events page. You'll see where we're going to be. Somebody had mentioned that the home rule has support in Washington. Yes, yes, it does. In Washington, and I think possibly in Oregon as well. Or maybe Oregon might have been the area where they were talking about doing sanctuary cities for firearms. I don't remember. I can double check for you guys. And Edward, I see your message here asking if you can call into the station. I'm not in the station. I'm actually in Czech Republic. So if you call into the station, they don't have a way to patch you over to me. But if you send your message in the comments, I'll absolutely get to it as long as I see it while I'm here on the air. But yeah, there's no way for you to call in right now. Want to also welcome Jim and Courtney to the live stream. Guys, thank you so much for joining me. We are just wrapping up talking about home rule in New York State along with Ben Wassel's court case. And now moving on to the unemployment rate in New York. Now, some of you may have seen that the New York State Department of Labor released a press release saying, oh, our unemployment rate is so amazing. It's 3.9%. It's never been so low since 1976. And I've got a little bit of an issue with that. And it may not be the issue that you guys are thinking. I know a lot of people have come forward and said that the unemployment rate is only so low because the national unemployment rate has dropped, and it's because of Trump's policies and this and that and this whole long thing. And that may be true. That may be true. It may not be true. I don't want to discuss that. What I do want to discuss is two things. The first is the fact that we are still below the national average, or above, I guess, depending on how you want to look at it. Our unemployment rate is not as good as the national average. So if you go in other places in the nation, you'll find a lower unemployment rate. Now, the next issue I want to mention and talk about is how they actually calculate the unemployment rate, because that is really, really important. In fact, once you look at how they calculate the unemployment rate, you start to realize that these are, I don't want to say invalid numbers, but the numbers don't make sense. They don't line up. The numbers are not based on, you know, let me take a step back. If I were to calculate unemployment, I would look at a few things. I would look at how many people there are, and I would look at who's working. Now I would look at who's not working, and I would take those two and calculate the unemployment rate. That's not how it's calculated. So how is it calculated? Really, really simple. And Courtney has hit the nail right on the head, because she's saying in the comments, it's because people have stopped looking for work. And Jay followed up with, it's a big math scam. Yes, you guys are both absolutely right. Totally right. So how do they calculate it? They only count you as unemployed if you have tried to find work in the last 4 weeks. That's it. That's the only way you're considered unemployed. So let's talk about what that means. That means if you are on New York State unemployment insurance, if you are on welfare, if you are a student who is going to school but doesn't have a job, or maybe you've just given up, you haven't applied for a job in the last 4 weeks, all four of those instances, you are not considered unemployed, and you are not calculated into the unemployment numbers. So what's that mean? That means you went out, you got a degree that is basically worthless in today's economy. You are stuck at home. You tried to get a job for 6 months. You couldn't do it. You've decided what's really fun is playing video games in your parents' basement. And or you are living off student loans and acquiring debt, but have no income whatsoever, and you're not searching for a job. You don't get counted as unemployed. You don't, which terribly, terribly skews these numbers. And here's the thing. We're talking about the holiday season right now. We're talking about the time that people are the absolute busiest. They're playing for family, all of that. In the last 4 weeks, it's really hard to say that, you know, people are A, looking for jobs, and B, able to obtain them. So let's talk about those who are employed, but maybe they don't get counted as, they'll get counted possibly as underemployed, but they shouldn't be counted as employed at all. So the way the numbers used to work is you had to be employed for at least 12 hours a week to be considered employed, right? If you were employed less than 12 hours a week, you were considered unemployed. So what they have done is they've actually changed it to any amount of work, you're considered employed. So if you work 1 hour a week helping somebody rake leaves, you're not considered unemployed. Now, it doesn't matter that you don't make anywhere near the income you would need to make to maintain a personal life, to take care of a family, to pay bills. Now, any amount of income, no matter how small it is, you're considered employed. Now, here's the thing. They even have little exceptions and rules here. So they start by saying any type of work that's any income. So say you're without a job and you're looking for a job, but then we get a bunch of snow in upstate New York and you decide that you're going to go shovel the neighbor's driveway for $20. You shovel your neighbor's driveway for $20. You get the phone call and they say, hey, have you done anything for work? Oh, yeah, I shoveled the neighbor's driveway for $20. Within the last 4 weeks, you are not considered unemployed. They will mark you in the employed column. Now, here's the best part. Say you have a family business or somebody in your family has a family business and you help them at that family business and you don't even get paid for it. So it's the holidays. You're unemployed. Your aunt or your grandmother or your father, grandfather, uncle, cousin, whomever, they've got a shop, small business. Hey, can you come and just watch the store for me while I go, you know, do some errands? Can you sweep up the floor? Whatever. Do it as a favor. If you do that, you are considered employed, even though you didn't get paid for it. So really what happens here is we have skewed these numbers so badly, so badly. We're talking, especially on a national level, millions and millions of people that aren't being considered unemployed because of the way these numbers are calculated. It could be something as simple as you're unemployed, you help your brother install a window, he gives you $50. Now you're not considered unemployed until you go 4 weeks with zero income. So it's wrong the way these numbers are presented, because the way it's presented in a way that would lead the average citizen, the average person, to believe that these numbers are meant to show the status of our economy, which they're actually not. I did just a little bit of research on it. I actually went to the BLS.gov website, the Bureau of Labor and something. sorry guys. That's real technical, right? And also the labor.ny.gov website, and tried to understand why they calculate the numbers there. It's actually in their frequently asked questions. They actually say that these numbers that are published are not intended to measure the economy or the economic status of our country, our state, our nation, any of that. These numbers are simply there for economists to watch trends and make future predictions. So what's happened is we have had, over the years, politicians take advantage of a system they know is not accurately representing our economy whatsoever. It's not even accurately representing our labor force, because the numbers are terribly, terribly skewed, but it being skewed is good for them. Every person who takes office can take these numbers. They know they're skewed. They're skewed in a way that makes a performance look better than it is. And of course they use the numbers because it makes them look good. Here's the thing. If somebody decided to fix those numbers, say it was Trump, say it was Cuomo, doesn't matter who it is, if they fix the equation so that the numbers are reported accurately, what would we see? We would see the unemployment numbers jump significantly. And once they jump significantly, what happens? Everybody points at them and goes, oh, your policies suck. Your policies are terrible. Look, the unemployment rate tripled when you took office. So, of course, they're not going to fix it. What they're going to do is just keep using it. And like I said, It used to be you had to work 12 hours a week to be considered employed. Well, they changed it so that any amount of income, so they're just changing it consistently to make it so that less and less things mean that you're employed or unemployed to skew the numbers. Nobody's going to go the other direction. It'll make them look bad. So that's my thing on the unemployment. I saw that press release by New York State Department of Labor. I knew immediately that it was wrong, and I wanted to go through and kind of share and educate with you guys why it's wrong and how to know what the numbers really are. So I'm going to take another quick break here. I'm going to scroll through, read through some of your comments. I'm going to come back for the last segment, and we'll be back here in a few moments on Radio Free New York.
Do you remember?
Do you remember that first date when you took her to Tom Wallace and everything started out great?
Yeah, until the horse went lame on me. It was a long time ago.
Do you remember how our lips curved in a knowing smile when you both ordered ground steak sandwiches with everything? No onions?
No onions. As you sat down with your food in a cozy booth, remember how you both smiled as you simultaneously bit into the juiciest, most delicious burgers?
Do you remember the butterflies leaving your stomach as you shared conversation in hot, crispy, old-fashioned, crinkle-style cut fries? Your hands touch as you both reach for that last one, but you let her have it.
Start of a trend. Eventually, she got the house.
Do you remember the root beer float you shared? The sweet flavors of Tom Wall's homemade root beer mingling perfectly with the ice cream?
At some point during the date, all the nervousness, awkwardness all melted away, like the ice crystals on the frosted mugs of Tom Wall's root beer, and you know, you just knew, okay, this was to start something big here.
At Tom Wall's, they make great food so you can make great memories.
Stop by one of 9 locations, including the original in Avon.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
From Avon Feed and Supply, introducing Dry Shod Waterproof Footwear. Dry, comfortable feet, even on those warmer days. Avon Feed has a big selection of Dry Shod for men and women, offering fully flexible athletic shoe sizing for great fit and maneuverability. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has what the big pet chain stores will never have. Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard-to-find mean and nasty, plus once again nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply. West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the Circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, you guys, you are listening to Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We were just talking about the unemployment numbers here in New York and also nationally, and the way that those numbers are calculated and how they're not representative of our economy at all, and how it's very, very skewed to make the unemployment rate look much, much less. And I want to thank John and Kevin for joining the discussion. Looks like these guys are on either Periscope or Twitter. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. The issue I have is when data is published and politicians, and they always, always do this, politicians, they take the data, they skew it to what they want to look good, and then nobody is willing to change or fix it, because once they fix it, it'll report what's really going on, and that doesn't look good. It doesn't look good, so they won't do it. So that's what's going on with that discussion. I want to move on to, and this might be kind of old news for you guys, so if this feels like old news to you guys, let me know in the comments, because this happened literally the day after my last show. It may have already been talked to death by all the other talk show hosts, I'm not sure. But Defense Secretary General Mattis resigned, which I'm sure everybody knows at this point, but what I thought was kind of interesting is how many people on both the left and the right are upset about this. I mean, the right, I totally get it. General Mattis was kind of like a hero to those guys, right? To people on the right, you know, he's a general, very well liked, very well respected. People were just so happy and excited when he got, chosen for Secretary of Defense and when he accepted. But I was really surprised at how many people on the left were upset. They really felt like this was the guy who grounded Trump. This was the guy who kept things level-headed on our national security and our national defense. And so it's been really interesting to see the left and the right come together again on an issue, and they're really upset about it. So what I've got here, I've just got some quotes from General Mattis that were kind of like his popular quotes. People knew him by. I figured I'd share them with you guys. I think I've got five or six here. So the first one is, if in order to kill the enemy, you have to kill an innocent, don't take the shot. Don't create more enemies than you take out by some immoral act. And I think that one right there just really, really shows how level-headed this guy was. And also the fact that as a general in our military, he totally recognizes the fact that killing an innocent is an immoral act. I think sometimes we forget that in war, people still have to make decisions. And when you have a leader who knows what's right and wrong is not willing to cross that line, I think that's like some of the best type of leadership that you can have, period. Here comes the next one. We've backed off in good faith to try and give you a chance to straighten this problem out. But I'm going to beg with you for a minute. I'm going to plead with you. Do not cross us, because if you do, the survivors will write about what we do here for 10,000 years. I think this just goes to show that, like, he totally recognizes that the United States is the most powerful war nation in this country. Our military budget is more than the next 20 top spending countries combined. And I think this really speaks to just his whole idea and value of life. Like, just like the first one, he's like, please, like, I know what's going to happen. Don't do this bad thing, because bad things will happen. So I think it's once again, I think the more you learn about the way this guy speaks, the more you can see that although he was an extremely successful general and military guy, he doesn't even like his nickname. A lot of people call him Mad Dog Mattis. And as I was researching him, he like despises that name. He is really about building alliances in terms of keeping peace as opposed to like war and killing. So that was pretty, these quotes just kind of show that. The next one, I don't lose any sleep overnight. Let me rephrase it. I don't lose any sleep at night over the potential for failure. I cannot even spell the word. Now, that's just an awesome quote that feels very very Chuck Norris, I think. So that one, I like that one a lot. The next one here is, it kind of speaks to what I said, where he's really about building alliances over, you know, killing. And that is, a country that armed Stalin to defeat Hitler can certainly work alongside enemies of Al-Qaeda to defeat Al-Qaeda. And this just goes to speak to, once again, his determination to fix issues by making friends and allies as opposed to making more enemies, which I think is just extremely, extremely important. And so I've got the next one here. The next one is, you are a part of the world's most feared and trusted force. Engage your brain before you engage your weapon. And I think this one also speaks to, he wants people to think. He wants people to really understand their actions before they take them. And we're coming up here on the end of our show here on Radio Free New York. And I will end the show with this final General Mattis quote, which is my personal favorite: PowerPoint makes us stupid. And that one's just entertaining because the military, they have just PowerPoint after PowerPoint after PowerPoint. People hate them, then they make more PowerPoints. It's great. So I wanted to end the show with that. Guys, I will catch you next time here on Radio Free New York, and I will see you then. Thank you so much.